Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. Stay with me for the next 30 minutes. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. I'm going to give you a lot of accurate information, but no human speculation. Information that is designed to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, if you can stay with me and put this together, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you, but my job is to get it accurate and get it right, and not try to con you in any way, not try to sell you anything, not try to hustle you, but just give you accurate information. Then God the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of doing the rest. Remember, the flat line stands for the forward line of troops. And remember, we're using a military analogy to describe the Christian life. Flot is a military term, forward line of troops. And I've told you before, this is not unusual. Paul used military analogies in the Bible to describe the Christian, particularly in Ephesians 6, where he's told to put on the armor from God. And he described a Roman armament that we're to wear, using that as a metaphor for the Christian life. And this is true in what we're doing here today. We're showing you how you can build an invisible flat line, an invisible forward line of troops that will protect you from the outside sources of adversity before they overrun the command post of your soul and become the inside source of stress. All adversity is inevitable. We live in the devil's world. It cannot be helped. Sometimes we create it ourselves. But all stress is optional because we don't have to live that way. And that's what's so unique about the Christian life, is we do not have to live under stress. We have been reviewing some of these wonderful 10 problem-solving devices. And I've told you that repetition is very good because repetition is what helps us remember things. When you're in the military, you learn how to march by repetition. When you're in music, you learn how to read music or count score by repetition. And repetition is what life is based on, the routine of repetition. Well, let's repeat something here that we've started in our study before. We've been over problem-solving device number one, which is the rebound technique. And that's how we recover from our sin when we fail. When we sin, when we mess up, as inevitably we will, then there is a way to recover from our sin and resume our spiritual life. And that's by the rebound technique, where the Bible says if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The reason that we have to rebound is not to be saved again. That's not what it is. Because once we're in the family of God, we're not going to be kicked out for insubordination. We're not going to be disowned because we failed. Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and no one can ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is clear. This is evident. But what happens is when we sin as believers, then we break fellowship with God in time. And fellowship with God in time is maintained by means of God the Holy Spirit. When you believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Ephesians chapter 1 says that He seals you until the day of redemption. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about how He indwells you and establishes a camp inside of you, and Christ comes to live in the tent inside of you. He pitches a tent, so to say, and Christ lives in the tent. That's an analogy to the Old Testament and the things that went on in the tabernacle. But Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit is in you too. Well, this Christian life is indeed a supernatural life. It is not something that we live by regiment. It is not something that we live through discipline. The Christian life must be lived in the supernatural resources of God the Holy Spirit. So listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. But the Comforter, this is John 14:26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring them to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. He was speaking to the disciples, and they were going to be in for quite a shock because our Lord Jesus Christ would not be with them much longer. He was, in fact, going to die, and he had told them that. He had also let them know that there was a traitor in their midst named Judas Iscariot, that that's the man that would betray him. He had even told Peter that before the sun comes up, you're going to deny me, even three times. And so there was quite a shock going on. But you know, these disciples didn't have a notebook. They didn't have a tape player. They didn't have the ability to write all of this down as they were with him every day. There was no one following him around, recording these words and taking shorthand. They had to go back and remember what he said. And that's where this verse says the Holy Spirit will bring these three things back to your remembrance. When they got ready to write the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these are things the Holy Spirit reminded them of. And then it said, he will teach you all things. All teaching must come by mentorship of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is imperative that we understand as Christians how we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life unless the Holy Spirit is in control. Anything done without the power of the Holy Spirit is energy of the flesh. And even non-Christians can do that. The Christian life must be lived in the power of the Comforter, or what we call the Parakletos in the Greek New Testament. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos is the word Comforter in the English. And it's a word for a mentor or a coach. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, he is a divine person. This is not some ghost. This Holy Spirit is a divine person. Listen to John 15:26. But when the Comforter has come, the one whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He is the Spirit of truth. He is sent from the Lord Jesus Christ. He does indwell you and live in you if you are a Christian. The Bible is clear about that. And the Bible also says in Ephesians 5:18 that you are to be filled with the Spirit. The reason for this is simply you cannot execute the Christian life in the power of the flesh. It must be done under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard me say before that Christians have a protocol plan they must follow, the protocol plan of God. And so if you, in fact, try to live the Christian life, but try to live it in the energy of the flesh, then you wind up doing right things in the wrong way, and they just don't measure up. But if you do this under the filling of the Holy Spirit, then the things that you do are called divine good. So let's differentiate between divine good and human good. What's the difference? Human good are those things produced for God, such as going to church or giving money or praying or teaching Sunday school or singing in the choir or reading your Bible. Those things you do for God that are done in the energy of the flesh. And divine good are the exact same things, but this time you do them under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Once they're done under the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they become gold, silver, and precious stones. If they're done under the energy of the flesh, the Bible says they're wood, hay, and stubble. And at the evaluation throne of all believers, the judgment seat of Christ, our sins are not judged. Our sins were paid for on the cross. But what is judged is our works. Are our works acceptable to God? And if not, they are burnt up. They're destroyed in the fire. And the Bible says, if a man's work burn up completely, he himself shall be saved, yet as though by fire. You see, salvation is like building a concrete foundation, and the works are like the wooden structure on top of it. If all the wooden structure you built is done in the energy of the flesh, not under the power of the Holy Spirit, when the fire of testing begins to try it, if it all burns up, you still have the foundation. That concrete foundation's not going to burn up, and that foundation is your faith in Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. But if you want to have any sort of glorification of God, if you want to have any sort of rewards in eternity, you must learn to operate under the protocol plan of God, which says, number one, you got to change the way you think. You have to renovate your thinking. And that's why the Bible says the first thing is you have to think in terms of humility and not arrogance. Therefore, the Bible indicates that we are to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5, that he thought himself not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. Read it for your own self. He humbled himself. In Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 talks about the same thing. The essence of the Christian is humility. Christians that get arrogant are Christians who get self-righteous, Christians who get judgmental, Christians who justify why they do and critique and criticize other people. Arrogant people are the world's worst, and especially if they're religious. A religious, arrogant person will kill you and think he's doing God a great favor. The religious, arrogant person is immoral to the core, but he thinks he's moral. And these are exactly the people that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Moral, religious, liars, snakes, vipers, who cooked up a plan to have him murdered. You can read all about it in the New Testament. You've heard me teach it. That's what religion will do for you. So if you're going to live the Christian life, it's not in the power of the flesh. It is only lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is but one part of our divine God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Listen to John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is a problem for you, because you're born with a dead human spirit. You're born dichotomous. You're born with a body, yes, and with a soul, yes, but no human spirit. You're spiritually dead. See, the moment that you're born, Adam's original sin is imputed to you. And that's why the Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin has been passed upon all, for all have sinned. That's what happens. But when you come to the cross and when you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again. Not physically, not in your soul, but your spirit, your dead human spirit, is born again, and that happens when God, the Holy Spirit, comes to reside in a dead human spirit and gives you a relationship with God. If you're going to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, once you accept Christ, you become trichotomous. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when we pass off the scene, when we leave this earth, the body goes to the grave, and the soul and the spirit go to heaven. And this is how we will reside in a resurrection body, in a new resurrection body, having our soul, which is mentality, volition, emotion, consciousness. We'll have that, and we'll have our spirit, the ability to know God. And so it's the Holy Spirit that bears the name, that exhibits the attributes, and accomplishes the work of deity, just as if God did it. He is a rightful and equal member of the Godhead, no doubt about it. He's equal to the Father. He's equal to the Son. In fact, the same God whose mode of existence is that of three people. Every attribute of God is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. And he's fully God and free as the Father can be. Yes, he is the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus Christ is God, and God the Father is God. You see, God is called an eternal spirit in Hebrews 9. Christ was resurrected by the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 3:18. The Bible mentions this over and over and over again. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Spirit searches all things. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in you. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. See, because when you believe in Christ, not only does He indwell you, but He regenerates you. He gives you a spiritual gift, and you are placed into union with the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now that's not water baptism. That's you being placed into the body of Christ, union with Christ. So that's the key to this. The presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life becomes a distinguishing identification that's not observed by anyone else. They can't tell it, but God can tell it. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities in Romans 8. For we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. He cannot do this if we've quenched Him, if we've grieved Him by committing sin in our life. The Holy Spirit cannot and will not intercede for us if He's quenched and grieved. Thus, we have to rebound. Thus, we have to confess our sin. And this allows the Holy Spirit to resume control of our life. It's a very simple thing to live the Christian life. People want to make it very complicated. They want to tell you that you have to live up to certain legalistic standards and dress a certain way and talk a certain way and act a certain way. No, that's not the Christian life. That's religion. But this is the Christian life. You cannot live it in the energy of the flesh. You must live it under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus Christ gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ then gave the Holy Spirit to everyone who believed in Him. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon all. Now, today, anyone who believes in Christ is indwelled by means of the Holy Spirit. Not in the Old Testament. They were endued with the Spirit, a few, but nobody was filled with the Spirit. Now we have it today. And when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He can use us in spite of our abilities or even our inabilities. But if He does not, then the greatest talent and the greatest ability, the greatest personality, the greatest eloquence in the world are absolutely useless if it's not brought forth by means of the Holy Spirit. Because there's no power. There's no power. The power is in the Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus, this is what blew people away. Even Simon the sorcerer wanted the power to give the Holy Spirit to people in the Bible. Of course, it was for monetary gain, and that Peter said, "You've got a wicked heart. You don't understand this." All right? And so let's talk about that. Here you are, and the question is for you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? Can you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit right now? And the answer is yes. Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Just take a minute and think. Is there mental attitude sin? Is there sin of the tongue? Is there overt sin? Is there sin in your life right now? If there is, then you must rebound the sin. And when you rebound the sin, when you go to God and name the sin, He will be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. If you do not rebound the sin, if you don't name the sin, then you're out of the protocol plan of God. You may be doing all the right things, but you're doing them in the wrong way. That's why we've said it over and over and over again. Going to church is a right thing. There's a right way to go and a wrong way to go. The right way to go is through the filling of the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can mentor you by what the pastor teaches. The wrong way to go is by the energy of the flesh with the old sin nature in control. You're not going to get anything. You might get some fellowship and some howdy buddies and a slap on the back. You're not going to be able to transfer or metabolize any truth that may come from that pulpit because the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved. So until you rebound or recover from that sin, you're not going to get it. So this is critical. It's very critical that you understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? You are mandated to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. The Holy Spirit produces some phenomenal assets in Galatians 5:22, such as the ability to have personal love for God and impersonal love for others, the ability to have plus H or joy. Those are the first two assets, love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, mercy. These are assets by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life on good intentions. You must follow the protocol plan of God. And that means that, number one, to get into the deal, you have to accept Christ. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And once you're in the deal, once you're in the Christian life, then you have to operate according to the plan that God laid out. You can't hot dog your way around. There are a lot of Christian hot dogs. There are a lot of Christians that don't want to take instructions. There are a lot of Christians that want to make the rules up as they go along, and so long as the rules let them do what they want to do. And I have news for you. All of those hot dogs are going to be thoroughly disgusted when they show up at the judgment seat of Christ and see all of their hot dog and deeds burned up. All of that human good, human energy, human flesh stuff will be burned up because it did not glorify God. Satan is a master at distracting you. Satan is a master at getting you into things you don't need to be into, and most of the time they're called evil. Not because they're sinful or bad, but because they copy God. Satan's a copycat. He's a counterfeiter. And evil is when Satan takes a plan of God that's legitimate and real and puts a twist on it. A twist to such a way that then, instead of glorifying God, it glorifies him because it's energy of the flesh. And then people are confused and don't understand. So you must understand, if you're going to operate in the Christian life, it has to require rebound on a consistent basis. 1 John 1:9, you can't wait till you go to bed at night to confess your sin. Whenever you sin, you need to name it right there. And number two, when you do rebound, this guarantees the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that you quenched when you sinned. The Holy Spirit that you grieved when you sinned. When you rebound, you are reinstating the Holy Spirit over the sinful flesh. And then you can resume your Christian life. Until you rebound, you will not go forward as a believer. You will be stalled out like in the deepest mud hole around, and you cannot get any traction. Until you rebound and admit your sin, you will never glorify God. You will never grow spiritually. And this is the way you will live. So you have to remember that. It requires that on your part. But you must rebound and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. So once the Holy Spirit's in control, then he reproduces Jesus Christ in you. He guides you in Jesus Christ's plan. He helps you to remember. He helps you to recall. He brings these things back, and he encourages you. He mentors you. He coaches you. He teaches you. That's the strength of the Christian life. There is no strength other than in the Spirit. We don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's clear in Romans 8:4, is that we must walk in the Spirit. And the Bible's clear in a lot of places, like Galatians talks about walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is always there. The flesh is always testing you, and the flesh is always tempting you. Now again, two negative mandates before we wrap it up. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not grieve the Spirit of God. And Ephesians 4:30, do not quench the, I got that backwards, let me back up. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit of God. And then in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Spirit of God. So two negative mandates, don't quench the Holy Spirit, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So spirituality is absolute. You're either, right now, as you listen to me, you're either 100% filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're 100% controlled by your sinful nature, your carnal. There's no middle ground. It's absolute. It's not gray. Just like salvation is absolute and not gray, so is spirituality. It's the way God works. There's nothing gray about it. So if there's sin in your life, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's no one's business. Don't go tell anybody. Just get before God, however you want to do it, and admit your sin to Him. And then He will be faithful and just to forgive you. And once you admit it, walk away from it. Don't go back to it. Don't go back feeling guilty. Don't go back and get it out of the closet and play with it again. When you lay it at God's feet and you admit your sin, walk away from it. Don't go back. That's what guilt does. And there Satan will get you and he'll say, you're not really forgiven and you're not really a Christian or you wouldn't have done that. But talk to David about what Christians do and don't do. You may be really surprised. Did you learn something today? I hope so, because my job is to communicate the Word of God accurately to you. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. So stick with it. If you want to get in touch with us, just write us a note. We'll get it through the internet or through the postal mail, either way. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.